Today's message is about spiritual warfare. I believe it is a very important message for today. I would like to ask you to think about this message, to read these passages of the scriptures, to meditate about this message. So today I want to share a simple and essential truth that will help us to be confident and wise in our lives as believers. We as believers need to know that our eyes must be open to seeing spiritual reality, and that action in this physical world reveal God's ways to us. We need to see and understand this simple but important truth. So let us open Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20, verse 4, 1 through 4. Book of Deuteronomy 20, 1 through 4. And let us read together. It's an important place of scripture for today. So, Deuteronomy 21. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horse and chariot, a people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For Adonai your God, the one who brought you up from the land of Egypt, is with you. When you draw near to the battle, the Kohen, priest, will come forward and speak to the people. He will say to them, Shema Israel, hear, O Israel. You are driven near today to the battle against your enemies. Don't be faint-hearted. Don't fear or panic or tremble because of them. For Adonai your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. And again, I would like to read the last sentence. For Adonai your God is the one who goes with you. Why? To fight for you against your enemies, to save you, to save you, to save you. And remember, Yeshua, he is our salvation. The meaning of his name means salvation, the Lord who is saving us. So he's with us, in Yeshua. We understand a straightforward thing, of course. We believers of the New Testament have no enemies among people. But we realize that we are all involved in a spiritual war. Yes, it is true. Invisible and spiritual war can sometimes be more real than physical wars around us. In fact, a victory in the physical world often results from a win in the spiritual world. This is why we often find in the scriptures that enemies of Israel or wicked kings who decided to destroy Israel, they surrounded themselves with false prophets and witches and people who used evil spiritual force against the people of God. We can find it in many places of the scripture. For example, I believe we all remember the story of evil king Balak, who hired the false prophet Balaam to curse Israel. I know that our enemy, Satan, he tries to keep people of God unaware of this truth, to make people of God blind, weak, and hopeless. Often, when something is going on in our lives, we are tempted to give up, became lazy in our prayer and pessimistic in our life. Sometimes the easiest answer to a problem is to give up, to put down your spiritual weapon and to say in unbelief, so let it be the will of God in everything. Yes, indeed, let there be the will of God. But often that will is to fight, to pray, to proclaim, to continue trust the Lord, to act in faith. This is the will of God for us many, many times. Look, how many times in the Bible the Lord commanded us to keep going, to fight, to keep going and to fight. I want to share my own experience with you. I hope you won't judge me too much. Once, some time ago, I found myself in a very dangerous place in my spiritual, personal spiritual life. I had to come before the Lord and confess my sin, sin of unbelief. This was the time I prayed for people who were sick or had serious problems, and for a long period of time, I didn't see my prayers answered. This was the time in my life. I felt like my prayers didn't go higher than my ceiling. And eventually, I felt myself being full of skepticism and unbelief. After some time, I began to excuse myself and find explanations to problems, to unanswered prayers. And you know what I found? The most common and easiest explanation was, you won't believe, everything is the will of God, so there is nothing we can change. And I can tell you, nobody was able to recognize this problem in me. Sometimes my unbelief sounded as words of wisdom for people. But when the Lord showed it to me, I had to repent. I had to share my problem with my friends, ask for prayers, and ask the Lord for mercy, to help me to trust him again. What a battle it was. But as a result, I decided to continue the fight, to pray even when it looks like nothing is happening, to pray for the sick, even if it will make me many attempts to trust the Lord. And I can tell you, in the end of things, it is you who will decide to believe what the Bible says, to believe that his word has the power to resurrect the dead, to heal the sick, to change circumstances around you. Word of God has the power. I want to encourage you to keep fighting, to keep praying. Sometimes it takes 10 prayers to see only one victory, but it is 10 times better than giving up with no result. It is such an important message for us today. We need to remember it. Keep going, keep praying, keep fighting. Do not give up. So many places in the scripture teach us about spiritual battle we engage when we come to the Lord. I want to begin with Tanakh, and then we will look into New Testament. So the first place is the 2 Kings chapter 6. Let us open together. 2 Kings chapter 6 starts with verse 12. It is an amazing story, story of victory, story of faith. Trust the Lord. So verse 12. But one of his officers said, "No, my lord the king, rather Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, keeps telling the king of Israel the very words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, this king said, "Go, see where he is, so I may send and seize him." Then it was reported to him, "Behold, he is in Dothan." So he sent horses, chariots, and a great army there. And the Bible is a very specific book. And if it says here, great army there, it was a great army. So they arrived at night and surrounded the city, whole city. It was a great army. And verse 15. Now, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was surrounding the city. So his attendant said to him, "Alas, my master, what are we going to do?" And verse 16, "Fear not," he replied, "for those who are with us are much more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "Adonai, please open his eyes that he may see." Then Adonai opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When they came down to him, Elisha prayed to Adonai and said, "Please, strike these people with blinding light." So he struck them with blinding light according to the word of Elisha. Then Elisha said to them, "This is not the road, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man whom you seek." So he led them to Samaria. Upon the arrival in Samaria, Elisha said, "Adonai, open the eyes of this man that they may see." So Adonai opened their eyes and they could see. Behold, they were in the middle of Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "Shall I surely strike them down, Avi?" "Don't strike them down," he replied. "Would you strike down those whom you have captured with your own sword and bow? Set before them bread and water, that they may eat and drink and go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. After they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went back to their master. And the last words, it's in so important words. "Ever since, the marauding bands of Aram stopped invading the land of Israel." What a story. The army came to fight with one man of God who didn't have a weapon with him. His attendant, and I believe that the whole city of Dothan, was ready to give up, to run in fear. But you know what truth is? They were surrounded. There was nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. It was too late to do so. I believe some of the people of Dothan were ready to blame the prophet. It is he who brought a disaster into our city. That it is he who was the reason of their defeat. Why was he silent? Why don't he warn them earlier so they can escape and save their lives? Some people probably ask this question. If the Lord is with Elisha, why was he silent? Why didn't the Lord say anything to the prophet to spare his life? This is the thinking of unbelief. The truth is that the Lord has his ways of doing things. He wants to be glorified, to give victory there where there is none. Lord's plan was to change the enemy, to change a political situation around Israel, to turn evil into good, to transform enemies into friends of Israel. That was the plan of our God. How great is our God! All army that came to destroy the Jewish nation became the best friends of Israel, because the Lord is Almighty. So what can we see here? What lesson can we learn for us today? So first of all, I would like to say one more time. It was an impossible situation. In the eyes of some people, it was a complete defeat. One man against the army of chariots. And you know, chariots in the days were like tanks today. So can you imagine an army with tanks came to capture you? Would it be considered a difficult situation in your life? I think so. Whole army with tanks came to capture you. So, but it was not in the eyes of the Lord. First lesson for us. The Lord is Almighty. He can do everything. Nothing is impossible for him. It is up to us to trust the Lord or to be filled with fear. But it is better to trust. It is easiest way to trust the Lord. So the second lesson for us. Yes, the Lord is Almighty. He can do everything. But the second lesson. It required for prophet Elisha to pray, to act in faith. He was the one who had to fight with the help of the Lord. In his prayers, Elisha directed the hand of God. the prophet was able to know the God's will. He found supernatural wisdom and was able to win the war without blood. He became the superhero for Israel. But it was his fight. He had to fight. So the third lesson. If you think it was an easy task for Elisha, you are completely wrong. This victory required faith, trust, knowledge of the Lord and the spiritual world. It did not come to Elisha from nowhere. The prophet had to pay the price of obedience. He had to fill his life with ministry to the Lord, with prayers. Elisha lived for the Lord and walked with the Lord to the point of seeing the spiritual world the same way we see physical world. He learned the lesson which we need to learn today if we want to be successful and useful to the Lord. Please, it is a very important lesson for us. The physical battle is won in the spiritual ground. Again, this physical battle is won in the spiritual ground. This is the lesson for us. We can find much more to take from this Bible story, but I want to look into life of Moses. Let us open book of Exodus, chapter 17. And let us look again into life of mighty man of God, Moses. Exodus 17, verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses said and fought the Amalekites. While Moses, Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. When Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed. But when he let down his hands, the Amalekites prevailed. Moses' hands grew heavy, so they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat down. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on each side. So his hands were steady until the sun went down. So Joshua overpowered the Amalekites and his army with the edge of the sword. What a story. I don't want to repeat lessons from the previous places of scriptures, but I want to highlight a few very important thoughts from Exodus 17. Very important thoughts for us. The first thought, verse 11. When Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. I have a question for us. It is an important question. Why was that? Does the Lord Almighty, why he needs Moses to hold up his hands? The same idea is present here. The Lord is ready to help us, but it is our responsibility to take action, to act in faith, to pray, to be consistent in our ministry and our prayer lives. The Lord is waiting for us. He wants to teach us, to entrust us the victory, but we need to fight. Moses had to lift up his hands. Moses had to pray in faith. I found an interesting answer in Colossians chapter 1. It is Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Why Moses had to lift up his hands? This is the answer. Verse 18, Colossians 1. He is the head of the body, Yeshua, the Lord. He is the head of the body, his community. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in all things. The Lord wants to save the world, and it is his plan to accomplish it through us. He calls us to serve him, to obey him. He is our head, and we are his body. He is ready to heal people, to answer their needs. But the main question, are we ready to obey him, to pray for people, to lay our hands, to give the Lord opportunity to move through us? And this is our part. When we do our part, he is doing his part. So this is the first lesson. The second lesson, verse 12. Moses' hands grew heavy. This is the sign that it was the long battle, all-day battle for them. And we are human beings, and we are all tempted to give up when something goes wrong. When we try, but nothing happens right away. I can't imagine how many prayers are not answered only because we turned away from the Lord when He was ready to give an answer. How many times it happened? Often spiritual war requires patience and endurance. Sometimes some battle can go for years, but we are called to be victorious. We are called to be victorious. So don't give up. Fight, pray, trust the Lord. He's worthy. I want to read Luke chapter 18. This is a great example for us, how to fight, how to go, how to pursue answers from the Lord. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. This is the story. Let us read together. Then Yeshua told them a parable to show that they should always pray and not be discouraged. I love this. They should always pray and not be discouraged. He said, there was a judge in a certain city who neither feared God nor respected people. And there was a widow, in fact, in that city, who kept coming to him, saying, give me justice against my opponent. He was unwilling at the time, but afterward he said to himself, although I don't fear God or respect people, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so she won't wear me out by her coming. Verse 6. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge is saying. Won't God do justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Day and night. Will he be slow to help them? I tell you, he will quickly give them justice. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And this is the question for us. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in our hearts, in our lives, in our prayer life? Do you think this is just a beautiful proverb, or it is a commandment to pray, to trust, to cry day and night? I know for my life, I prefer to take word of God literally and apply it to my life. I want to see the glory of the Lord. It is an important thing to me. Okay, I have a test for you. Will you pray in trust to the Lord for those who need healing in your prayers? And your prayers won't be answered the way how you see it. Will you continue to pray? Yes. It's a good thing to pray for 10 people. And if only one will be healed, this one is worthy for you to continue to pray. Let us continue to pray, to trust the Lord, to stay in faith. So the third lesson from this story, the last lesson for today, verse 12. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on each side. So his hands were steady until the sun went down. So Joshua overpowered the Amalekites and his army with the edge of the sword. May I ask you a favor, please? After the service, can you please raise up your hands and hold it for a few minutes? I promise you, it is not an easy task. Even 5 minutes is not an easy task. I can see how many people would condemn and criticize Moses because he wasn't able to keep his hands up in the air. Somebody can ask a question. If he, a man of God, why he is not able to accomplish the will of God? It is so simple. Nothing to do. Just raise your hands and hold, and it's all. But praise the Lord. There were people, Aaron and Hur, who were able to see the need of the man of God, and they were ready to share his burden with him. I have a question for you. Where are you today? In what part of the community? Are you the only critic who knows better what to do and how it is supposed to be done, but do nothing? Or are you ready to help, to put yourself in danger, to take part in the spiritual war? We need each other. We need to pray together in unity. We need to hold each other. So if you see the need, fill it with your prayer. Fill it with your prayer. I have a truth. Do not share with anyone. It's our mystery. Critics won't inherit kingdom of heaven. Doers will. So the last but not the least place of scriptures, it's Numbers chapter 16, one of the most important for today. Numbers chapter 16, verse 46. It's an important story for us. Numbers 16, verse 46. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Take the censer, put into it fire from the altar, and put in incense. Get going and hurry to the assembly and make atonement for them, because wrath has come out from Adonai and the plague has started." So the Lord was angry because of their sin, and plague came. Wrath of Adonai. People were dying. Verse 47. Adonai did just as Moses had said and ran into the middle of the assembly. Behold, the plague had already started among the people, but he offered the incense and made atonement for the people. And verse 48, think about this verse. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague stopped. Aaron put himself in very dangerous position between the dead, and the living. So he was ready to die for his people. This is an example how the prayer of one man can bring a victory in the spiritual world and stop plague, even though it is from the Lord, even though the Lord was angry at people of Israel, but his faithfulness, his prayer, his sacrificial life, his heart stopped the plague from the Lord. We all know that the world is sinful and deserves to be judged. And I have a revelation for us. America is sinful too. So what are you going to do? Criticize, ask for judgment from the Lord, or will you act as a man of God, as a priest anointed by the Lord? Maybe you are the answer. Your prayer can change many things. So keep praying, keep trust the Lord, keep fighting. This is the main idea from the Lord for you. Thank you so much. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel, and we will return to Eric's home for a final song. So let us pray together. Yivarecha Adonai veishmarecha. Yair Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.